Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Pharrell on a bench in New York City at CBS Sports Radio with Mafia and Carver High. The tournament has officially tipped off, and CBS Sports Network is ready to bring you in-depth analysis of the field of 68 and take a look at who has a chance to win it all. Don't miss NCAA March Madness Bracket Breakdown tonight at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. All right, we're talking to Mickey Duje, the director, executive producer of Losers on Netflix, a great series. You're an artist and everything else. I know you've done a lot with animation and also your design and art, right? I'm guessing you did all that art for this series, all those pictures?
The majority of it. I work with a team. There's 50 minutes of animation in the show in total, so it's more than I could do myself. But, the design and the animation helps us to tell different parts of the stories that you can't really tell conventionally.
I mean, you did this series before that, the shining star of Losers Everywhere. Tell me about that one.
Yeah, so that was a 30 for 30 short that I did with ESPN. That I had originally read this story about this Japanese racehorse. I read the story in 2003. The story is that this Japanese racehorse became very famous in Japan for enduring this really long losing streak. It was during a recession in Japan,
right?
And this horse became famous. It would lose over and over and over, but fans, people with terminal illness, people who just lost their jobs would come to the track and say, if this horse can run as hard as she does in every one of her races, I can continue to try hard in my life too. And in making that film, I kind of understood this idea that they have in Japan of noble failure, which we don't really typically do that much in America. So that was really the beginning of my thinking about these ideas for a series.
You did you did a lot of this stuff in New York City, right? You were like you went to school for like video and stuff in here in New York, right?
Yeah, I studied. I went to art school in New York, studied to be an illustrator. And actually, the first work that I did was all drawings and drawings for magazines and newspapers. I did that for about 10 years before getting into film.
Did you do you still do this all-nighter room as the production company in Brooklyn?
Yep. That's my little production company doing shorts and animation and things. I'll do some commercial projects as well as the documentary.
Did you do the Bo Jackson documentary?
I did all the design and animation in that film, too. Yeah, that was...
Well, that was badass, bro. Nice job.
Thank you.
I mean, that was really great. So tell me about... this show, Losers, we've been talking about it with Mickey Duje, the great executive producer and director, an award-winning one at that. I got to tell you, tell me about the Michael Benn. I watched that one about the boxer. What did you think of that story?
Well, that was not a story that was necessarily on my radar. It was brought to me by a sports writer friend of mine named Bryn Jonathan Butler, who does a lot of writing in sports generally, but specifically in boxing. And he was just like, man, I've got this story of this guy who had this completely unique arc to his life, was a champion, then lost it spectacularly, and then had this really counterintuitive second act. And he was trying to sell it to every magazine around the country, and editors everywhere were telling him, there's no peg for this story. This guy is just a loser. Nobody would care to think about, think deeply about this guy or see value in him. I got Michael on the phone. I was introduced to him through Bryn, and immediately thought that he was very thoughtful, very candid about the pressures of being a professional athlete, especially being forced into boxing by his father, who was abusive, and Michael did not want to box. I just thought that he had a really direct way of speaking, and also almost a poetic soul in how he thought and talked about winning and losing. So he was a perfect subject for the show, and I think you see all of that passion and that honesty in the way that he formulates his thoughts in the episode.
Tell me about the dog musher lady that never won the Iditarod, but everybody loves her. She's like a rock star musher. Is that about right?
Yeah, as crazy as that sounds, totally. She's had multiple second place finishes, but her she has an ever growing legion of fans because of things that she represents beyond just winning. She's been a huge advocate for the humane treatment of animals in the race. She's one of the few women who compete in the Iditarod. Her name is Allie Zirkel. And also in 2016, she suffered one of these crazy moments that happens every once in a while, like what happened with Monica Seles, where someone who is not involved in the race came onto the race course and attacked her and nearly killed her. And despite having gone through that, she finished the race that year and then went on to continue racing the very next year and has never not finished the race in 19 consecutive years. So she's really a force of nature in a lot of ways.
What did why did this individual tried to like kill her or something?
It's a little bit unclear what his motives were. He chalks it all up to being drunk.
Awesome.
And claims to not remember. Yeah.
What a disaster.
He did go to jail, not for long enough for most of us, but yeah, he was arrested.
Well, there you go. Let me ask you, Mickey Duguay, what is the award-winning director? You did the O.J. Made in America. I mean, I got to tell you. So what was your role on that thing? Because that also was just absolutely kick-ass, man.
Well, I did such a tiny part of that. Ezra asked me to do a little sequence of some storyboards. There's a little bit of art in the show. It's a very small part, but I was happy to do that for Ezra and very, very proud to have a tiny credit in there with that project.
I love this guy, Carver Hyde. Do you see this guy? Like, he just takes credit for nothing. He's got, like, he's doing all this award-winning stuff. All of his shows are just absolutely top shelf. He's got all these kick-ass flicks, documentaries, stories, animation, everything. He's just like, I just barely got out of bed. I might have spent 5 minutes on that one. Sorry, I won another Emmy. I mean, can you believe this guy, Carver?
Gotta be humble.
He gives no credit, takes no...
That's okay.
I mean, can we get him some champagne, Mafia? Can we get him a bottle? Pop a bottle for this guy. Here we go. We're pouring champagne for you right now. Can you hear it?
Thank you.
There you go. There you go. Listen, fabulous job on Losers. I'm a big fan of your work. I think you did a hell of a job. I love the story about Blackjack. Obviously, I'm biased, but I'm glad you picked it. And I'm just thrilled to have you on the show. Continued success, my friend. Congratulations on all the great things you're doing and projects. Let me know if you're working on anything cool anytime soon. We'll get you back on.
I would love that. Thank you for having me on, Scott.
My man, Mickey Duguay, the award-winning director and executive producer, and he's got the Losers out now on Netflix. I thought that was really cool. Mafia, did you think Mickey was humble enough there on the interview? He just took no credit for anything. Meanwhile, he's got all these amazing award-winning shows out, but he's just like, oh, I might have spent 5 minutes involved in that project.
Right, especially with some of the stuff where you can't really get people to reenact it in person, where you got to have the animations that really bring it together and still just not taking much credit from it.
Anyway, you got to see it. Watch Losers. And if you watch, you can pick any one of them. So I highly recommend if you were to, you know, choose, I would say the Blackjack one, obviously, the Dog Musher one, the John Vandeveld 72nd hole one. Miscast Champ is the Michael Bent story about the boxer. He also does one about a soccer team I saw that one, the last game of the season. This is a bad one. I think it was an own goal story there, Carver. I got a little championship game own goal failure.
Can't have that.
Can't have it. And then there's a French figure skater story, a cheater. She was apparently a cheater. And then there's a curling story, and then a Italian runner in the Sahara Desert story. You got to get your hands on that Losers on Netflix and check it out. Carver High still trying to get Bloodline done after 10 years of failure there. And
sure am.
Getting that aired in the Carver High Man Cave. Can't get that going. We're also, as you know, in the show, an award-winning Carver High Top 500 Movies of All Time. Once in a while, we break out any movies that we see, if they're willing and able to be judged by Carver High, as to a break into the Top 500. It's very difficult to get a notch in the belt. What'd you think of Belmont rubbing out Temple tonight in this second game? It was a good game in the first half. The second half, they beat their ass.
It went a little early in the second half. It was back and forth. Belmont was up, and then Temple surged ahead. But in the last, 8-9 minutes of the game, Belmont has taken over, and I love to see it. It's just outstanding.
Yeah. So I got to ask you a question, and then we'll get people. If you want to call on this, go ahead. 855-212-4CBS-4227. Do you think that Robert Kraft should take that deal? Because I don't think he'll take it. I think what he'll do is, because he's so rich, right? Let's just get down to it. When you're that rich, you get great lawyers, right? By the time they fight this case, my guess is he won't even have been there. By the time they're done with the lawyers that they'll have on his side, he won't have even gone to the massage parlor. He won't even have been there. The day they said he pulled up in the Bentley, it wasn't even him. By the time they're done, he'll be found not guilty. Do you think he should fight it and clear his name, or do you think he should accept that he did it and take the deal and wash it?
Accept the deal, do whatever you got to do, get out of there.
Do you agree with that, Mafia? Because I don't think he'll do that. He already pled not guilty. He said he didn't do it.
Yeah, there's the stories that he's not going to take it, but I mean, what – do you have? They have you on video. Like, what defense is he really going to use where they have him not only getting services but then giving them the money to say, yeah, I'm not guilty?
It was a double, a body double. It wasn't him. He was in
another old white guy.
He was in Kansas City. He sent his best friend, his brother-in-law, who looks just like him, with a hangover. His evil twin, a doppelganger, with a guy with a hairdo the same. It was not even him. He wasn't even there. I mean, all he does is win rings, Super Bowls. They don't have time to go to massage parlors. Come on. 855-212-4227. Later tonight in the midnight hour, Scott Miller talking about Trout's deal and everything else to do with baseball as we get ready for the regular season.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So the Player of the Week is brought to you by Granger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done this week. It's Zion Williamson. He returns for Duke to score 29, 31, and 21 in Duke's 3 wins to take the ACC title as they head into the NCAA tournament as the overall number one seed. The Player of the Week was brought to you by Granger. Granger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Granger.com. I've been hitting so many college basketball games, it's not even funny. Why hesitate? Sign up now. It's the best time. PharrellOnTheBench.com. This Thursday to Sunday, we lose our minds with College Rack. Great deal, better picks, NBA, NHL, boxing, MMA, you name it. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Don't forget episode 176 of Pharrell on the Bets, my sports betting podcast on Westwood One. Drops tomorrow morning on iTunes at 6:30 Eastern. Subscribe free. All you have to do is listen to my podcast to get all my picks. Make fat stacks. You can follow me on Twitter at OnTheBetsWWO. You also got Carver High's hockey podcast, which is at Aisle Seat Podcast. And don't forget CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you by Geico. Everybody, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, motorcycle, boat, RV insurance? They got it. Just go to geico.com. Remy in California, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing, bro, my friend?
Hey.
Hey, you guys are something. You know, you're right on a lot of that stuff. And I want to apologize to Culver High. He's Culver City.
Culver City.
Yeah. Culver City, Culver High.
I like Culver City. That's where I used to do the show.
All righty then. We'll stick with it. All hey, right. Listen, you know what? You're right on about this guy's got tons of money that he don't even know that's hidden somewhere. He's got somebody that's already, as we speak, getting tantalized, fixed up to look just like it. And another thing, he's got somebody that's going to do a signing on the side signatures and this and that, and they're going to bring that in court and go, see, match it up there. It's not even his own writing.
So, Carver, what are you hearing about Kraft? I said he, I don't think he'll take the deal. What are you hearing tonight?
There's a story in the New York Post that just came out in the last couple hours where sources say, I've told the New York Post that there's absolutely no way Patriots owner Robert Kraft will take the no plea deal that Florida prosecutors are offering. So they say that Kraft is not going to take this deal.
You know, it's funny because do you remember when it happened? I said that I said on the air that I just felt like the police down there, they love to embarrass rich people. Have you ever noticed that? Like they go after these golfers. Have you ever seen they get the DUIs, the golfers? And
yes.
And Jupiter's notorious for it, right? All these rich people live there and play golf, and they get nailed left and right leaving these golf courses with a beer buzz and a whiskey buzz at the 19th hole, right? And then now they're nailing, right? They're nailing all these people at the massage parlors. And then, you know, they get their hands on a famous guy, right? They love that. When, you get a golf, PGA guy or the owner of the New England Patriots going into the massage parlor, they got him on film. Now they got everything they need because they get, no one likes to hear it, but you can't tell me they don't love that attention. I mean, the Jupiter Police Department loves it. They're nailing rich, famous people doing bad things. DUIs, massage parlors. They love to humiliate people. It's what it seems like to me. And I got to tell you, I think he'll beat them in court. I really do. I still believe he'll be found not guilty by the time it's all said and done. And then he'll end up humiliating them because my guess is my own personal opinion. This is not reflective of anything, but I just think that he would, he went there and did what he did. And, at the end of the day, I think he'll get away with it because my guess is the lawyers, the big money, they'll find a way that they did it. They obtained it illegally. They said they had a warrant for it and all this other stuff, these cameras and everything. There might be, privacy issues, legal privacy issues. One way or another, he's going to get off, I think. You know what I mean? Like, do you really think the old man with billions of dollars is going to lose to the Jupiter Police Department about going to a massage parlor? I really have a hard time buying that. And then they're going to be left holding their D's, right? They're just going to be standing there looking like idiots. And then, and you know why you prove it by just, all you need to know is that they just want to embarrass people is that they offered this guy a plea to just admit you were there and we'll drop the whole thing. Because all we really want to do is embarrass you. That's all that says. That's all that is.
I agree with you. It sounds that way at this point. That
sounds that way. That's all it is. They just want to humiliate people.
Have the other people involved in this been offered a plea?
No, they don't care about people if they're not famous. Okay, so when they nail everybody else, they're going to end up paying tickets. Those people are paying tickets, I guarantee it. But they don't go on a television station, do they? No one else gets a story about them. If you're not famous, no one cares if you were there.
There were a lot of names in that thing, right? A
lot of names. But if you're famous, then they're gonna humiliate you. If you're not famous, they're just going to give you a ticket. I mean, we don't even know any of the other people, right? But I guarantee you they're writing checks. They're writing checks to the local community, the Jupiter Police Department, or whoever, the courts.
And that's how it always is. That's how it's always been. They always go for the big fish and, like, drag them through it. Michael Vick, they pretty much gave all those other guys plea deals. He's the one that served prison time and
right.
was put on the ringer. This college cheating scandal. Like, how many other rich people pay for their kids to go to college? The only ones you're hearing about are, Felicity Huffman
like
and Lori Loughlin.
Is that like the big fish thing around here when they got the people that narc on the one guy and then the other guy rolled over and then they all went to prison? You mean that one?
Exactly.
We got a little of that going on around here. People rolling over on people. What do you mean, you people?
What do you mean, you people?
And things calm down here in the terms of, you know, the courtrooms and everything around here? Is everything calmed down, Carver High? We don't have as much, you know, felonies and everything going on here at the network and at the local radio station?
It seems like it has, as far as I know.
Everybody's back to being good and everything?
I think so.
Hopefully. All right, Dave in Boston on the hub.
Hey, man, can I get a post St. Patrick's Day J-Mo on the rocks?
Yeah, you know, I didn't really get to enjoy St. Ferrelli's Day this year because I was traveling. I don't consider Sunday St. Ferrelli's Day because I was on an airplane for most of it. And then I'm, sitting at baggage claim. Then I got to drive home and everything. That was not a holiday to me. So this year I had to miss St. Ferrelli's Day.
Sorry to hear that, brother.
It's a drag.
Hey, man, I've been watching hockey for 40 years, big right. Bruins fan.
Right.
And the most embarrassing thing in sports is these guys get a fight with their helmets on. Chara fought Martin tonight, and Chara's punching him in the damn helmet. And it's even worse when these guys have shields. What is the point? They're afraid these guys are going to get concussions. 99% of the concussions happen on checks in the boards or – you know, whatever, open ice hits, they don't happen with these fights. If a guy knocks somebody out, you know, they'll hold him up, make sure his head doesn't hit the ground. But it is embarrassing that these guys get a fight with their helmets on and hit each other in the helmets or the shield. It's embarrassing.
I saw it is what it is. Take the helmet off then if you don't like it. The bottom line is this. I saw that fight tonight, and I'll give my buddy, Matty Martin, I'll give him, he had the Mikey Garcia thing going.
Right, he was trying to get the team fired up.
He got the guts to take him on, he's got the stones to take him on, but then he had nothing to offer in that
fight. He wasn't going to win that fight. Look, Dave, here's the bottom line. They don't want guys taking their helmets off in these fights and whacking each other in the head. They don't want it, all right? We're getting closer and closer. We've talked about this on this show 1,000 times. Eventually, it will be completely gone and out of the game. It's going to happen. We know that it is. But until then, now they've gotten to the point where you'll get a penalty if you take your helmet off in the fight. They don't want guys with no helmet on whacking each other in the head.
So they'd rather have guys break their knuckles and hands punching each other.
That's them saying, then don't fight. You don't want to break your hand on a helmet? Don't fight the guy. Right. That's what they're trying to do.
I think it's and I'm one of the very few purists. I think it's a big mistake to mess with the game. I don't think there's anything wrong with once in a while, you know, once a week, a fight breaks out. We've seen a couple of good heavyweight fights lately. And remember, you were showing me a fight about a week ago, a great fight with Lucic.
Yeah, when Lucic fought the kid on the Devils.
Right. Listen, I am all for a good hockey fight, so I do not agree with getting rid of it completely. I know that's what the league wants, but I think they should just stop tampering with the league. Stop messing with it. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with a good hockey fight, okay? And am I wrong? The players love it. You see them tapping their sticks. I mean, who doesn't love a hockey fight? The fans love it. You know, the only people that don't like it is Gary Bettman and his minions down at the league office on 6th Avenue. They're the ones that can't handle it. And that's all there is to it. Do you like a hockey fight, Jay? I mean, at least once in a while?
Two thumbs down, bro.
You just don't want any of it.
I don't understand.
What a femme you are.
Jay does not condone any violence.
Why not a hockey fight once in a while?
Boy, did it rile up the Islanders tonight. That's the worst game they've played in 3 years.
But it had nothing to do with that fight.
I mean, but that's what Mike said the point of it was for Matty Martz. Get the team going. They sucked.
Well, whatever. But irregardless of that or whatever, I just think that, what's wrong with a hockey fight? Your whole life you've been watching hockey. You don't like any fights ever?
No.
And you never have?
Never.
Why is that?
Because it doesn't add or take away
from
the
game. Are you sitting here telling me you've gone to the Nassau Coliseum and when a fight breaks out against the Rangers, you don't stand up and start going crazy like everybody else?
Of course I do.
Just stop. I've never heard anyone say that to me before. You're the first. I'm a femme. I don't want any fighting ever, and I just sit in my seat and mope when there's a fight breaks out. I mean, honestly.
You want Sidney Crosby fighting?
He's not going to be the guy fighting, as you know, but I've seen him fight. I saw him fight against the Sharks. Remember, like, a couple months ago, didn't he get in a fight? So, I don't think star players should be fighting. I think the worst guy on the team should fight.
That's Matty Martin.
Listen, when I grew up, all I saw were fights, at least one every hockey game I went to. And I always remember, I loved going to the Civic Arena, the Igloo, to watch Paul Baxter get in a fight. I used to love it. I thought it was great.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4227. Later at the top of the hour, Scott Miller, Bleacher Report on Trout's deal and baseball, Skinny. And then in about an hour from now, we'll hopefully hook up with Belmont coach Rick Bird, a legendary coach at Belmont with his first NCAA win tonight. Guy's got over 800 wins in college basketball. And a big win for Belmont tonight over Temple. We'll talk to him allegedly later in about an hour. 855-212-4CBS to get on. Nathan in Tucson, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Good evening, sir. I hope you guys are healthy as well.
Thank you.
How about that number 11 seed coming out of the gate?
So who are you talking about? Obviously, they look great in the second half, Belmont. I thought, Temple gave him a game, but at the end of the day, they couldn't stop Kevin McLean, and the guy had, close to 30 points, and they were able to score and run away with it. It was a big second-half run that did them in. I mean, I thought it was a close game at one point, and then they made it look easy in the second half. I thought that first game was better.
It's in the stars, the numbers, 7-4-1-6, and there it was, 11.
I don't even know what any of that means. Is that like some kind of like some stargazing stuff he was giving me?
I mean, is that the numbers to play in the lotto tonight? I mean, what was all that?
I didn't know what to do there.
7-9-1-11, like what?
Didn't we have somebody? We did an interview over the weekend in Dallas. Didn't somebody start dropping numbers on me? 8-5-4, man. Do you remember 8-5-4, Pharrell? I was like, what? What are you talking? What are you talking about?
What is going on?
I don't know. I'm sorry if it just blew over right over my head. I don't know what you're talking about, but God bless you for trying to do something with that. Adam in New York.
Hey, Pharrell.
Hey.
I heard that previous caller.
Right.
The hockey fights.
Right.
Come on. You don't want fighting in hockey?
Well, I think that everyone wants to get rid of it in the NHL, but I'll believe it when I see it, but I don't think the players want to get rid of it. Do you think, Carver Hyde, that all the players want to get rid of it?
No, I do not think the players want to get rid of it. I don't want to get rid of it. You don't want to get rid of it. Nobody wants to get rid of it around here. I mean, Jay wants to get rid of it. The caller didn't either. What we're saying is that Gary Bettman and the league would love to get rid of
right.
it. And the reason why they probably haven't is that the Players Association probably, hasn't signed off on something
won't agree to it in a CBA that they're going to
get rid of it. If that's something coming down the line in the CBA that might be used as a bargaining chip, I think that we're starting to get to the point where the players would probably give it up. I mean, it doesn't happen enough anymore where they probably put too much stock in it.
If it doesn't happen anymore enough to be of any significance in the league, then why mess with it? It just happens like once a week. You'll have a fight break out. Like, who cares?
Well, you know what the history's been with Gary and the concussions. You know what it's been.
Pharrell.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
In your opinion, Gary, I got to give some sort of props to Gary Bettman because he has expanded the hockey league. He has expanded the broadcasting ability, but
I think that Gary, let's just say this. I've known him forever, and I think that, I think he's done a great job, whatever, with the league, and I know everybody hates him and they boo him and everything else. I think that goes with the territory. I've seen Ziegler when he was the president the commissioner, they booed him every game and everything else. And then Bettman's taken just more abuse than I think any commissioner in sports. I think he takes way more than Goodell, believe it or not. But I'll say this, Carver High. I think, you heard Adam bring up the league. You brought it up even that he said the league's gotten bigger. It's expanded. He's made the league better. Listen, Just stop with all that. The league would have expanded. The league would have grown. The league would have changed. The league would have adapted. The league would have moved into the 20th century. The league would have evolved. It's like saying that he's to credit. All the credit goes to him for the league kind of evolving into what it is today. I think the league will naturally evolve on its own like a plant. I don't think you need to give all the credit to Gary Bettman. I think that Gary Bettman gets all the credit. But I believe that the league itself would have expanded and grown and become what it is on its own. I don't think you need to give credit to anybody.
Look, I have long time been a Gary Bettman defender and supporter. I think that he's done a lot of really
good. I'm friends with him, too.
I think he's done a lot of really good stuff for the league. I know that forever it's going to get hung over his head that there has been multiple league shutdowns on his watch. I understand that. But he's done a lot of good.
It is what it is.
It is what it is, and it's possible that some of those work stoppages helped the game. So I'm never going to, you know, there's a couple things that bother me about Gary, but I think for the most part, he has done a lot of really good stuff for the sport of hockey and the NHL.
Yeah.
He just has.
And look, the league has always had these strikes, right? These lockouts and strikes and everything. They've always had it. I think it's a unfortunate circumstance that it happens, but it does happen, and they, you know, that's how they handle their business. You want to mess with that CBA with the league, they'll lock you out. They'll, you know, players will strike, whatever. It is what it is. You can blame whoever you want, but I think he's done a really good job as well at, you know, the league is worth more now than it ever has been, obviously. I think that, you know, these leagues continue to – you can't let someone in for $500 million in Vegas and then $650 million in Seattle and not be making money. You know, it's a multi-billion dollar league. It's of nothing compared to baseball or the NFL or NBA, to be honest with you. But he's made a lot of money for the league. It's just grown exponentially over the years, and he's made them billions. So that's all that really matters. But – I think that the league itself, as I said, naturally evolves into what it is, and the players become what they are. The speed of the game has changed. The marketing of the game has gotten bigger. The television and radio has gotten bigger. The NHL Network, they have everything is bigger. Everything's bigger and better now. International hockey's bigger and better than ever. The Olympic hockey's bigger and better than ever. The under, you know, what is it, under 20, under 19, whatever it is, the leagues. You know what I mean, Carver? All those international tournaments are great.
They're huge.
College hockey's better than ever. It's automatic, if you ask me, that it is what it is. It evolves. The sport is what it is. And you know, giving all these people credit for it, how about the game itself has become what it is? I mean, there's just the game's great. It's always been great. And you know what he's done more than anything else, in my opinion, is not – getting all this credit everyone gives him. It's that he hasn't screwed it up. I think he hasn't hurt it. He's made it, let it roll into what it's become.
He's going to, I know you don't want to give him all the credit or a lot of people don't want to give it all to him, but he did, you know, expanding the game to some places like Nashville or like Tampa Bay or like, you know, Arizona. I know that that hasn't been a complete workout,
right?
And it's been a problem, but
he saved them.
He gets a lot of, you know, credit for expanding the game into more of the country,
right?
And I understand that. And also with what he did with the TV deal, because ESPN left him flat in the early 2000s,
right,
when that lockout was coming. And he was able to, you know, he started small, went to that versus, eventually NBC got involved with that. And now he's grown it to where they are like NBC's, like, you know, top
right
thing now.
Do you feel like you have to watch, because I can watch hockey on three different teams in New York and on NBC Sports Channel and on NBC. I can watch enough hockey on those three teams to not have to buy the hockey package.
And not only that, he's got the TV package at the point now where you can get every playoff game just about. They put those things on NBCSN, CNBC. They're putting every playoff game all over the place every single
night.
That's
all that matters.
How can you not ask for more than that?
So that's all that matters. E is in Houston.
Hey, Scotty. I'll tell you what. I hope I see an NHL hockey fight very soon in Houston if Tillman brings up a team here.
I wouldn't be surprised. That guy's just loaded, and everything he touches turns to gold.
I would love it, and we're starving for NHL. As far as Kraft goes, you know, two words, you know, lawyer up. three more.
He's obviously, like I said, this is real simple. He's got more money than these people, and he's going to win. That's it. If you have a great lawyer and you have all that money, you know, I mean, what do you need to know? The more money you got, the better off you are in the courtroom.
Scotty, you're the sports authority. I just wanted to know if you or any of your listeners had a comment on the Save America's Pastime Act. I just heard about it on Bloomberg News. I'm kind of behind the curve. It happened in March of 2018. It excluded the minor league players from the Fair Labor Standards Act. It was slipped into a federal spending bill. And what it did was, after, you know, millions of dollars of lobbying from the MLB, it shielded MLB from class action suits regarding minor league player.
Listen, I think that's fantastic, E. I really appreciate it. I don't have time to get into the whole labor situation in minor league baseball. I will say this, though. I agree that minor league baseball players should have it a little better than they have it, for sure. I think they get fleeced, and I don't think they make enough money to make a living and take care of their families. I don't think it's right, but it is what it is. If you don't like it, make the show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.